The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You are listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Skiing. This is the TWBC podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, hello, greetings, and welcome to this, another edition of the TWBC podcast. My name is Tony Lightfoot, and thank you for your continued support. Well, here we are. We got IWWF U21 World Water Ski Championships. They're taking place in Chapala, which isn't too far outside Guadalajara in the state of Jalisco in Mexico. And I'm pleased to have with me the homologator for the tournament, but probably more importantly, he is the president of the International Water Ski and Wakeboard Federation. He is none other than Jose Antonio Perez Briego. How are you doing, sir?
Great, Tony. Nice to be here.
Nice to be here. Yes, indeed. The last time we actually spoke on a podcast was during the U21 World Championships. Wasn't that right?
Almost 2 years to the date.
Yes, indeed. You're over at Picos's place over in the Santa Rosa Beach. So, having these championships in your home country, Mexico, must make you pretty proud, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Super proud because Boca Laguna is like a second home for me.
Okie dokie. Yeah, I mean, Boca Laguna is a fantastic site. I mean, it's held the World Water Ski Championships in 2015, U21 Worlds in 2009, 2012 they had the Senior World. So these folks here, the La Madrids, you know, I mean, they really pull out the stops. They're no stranger to welcoming the best skiers from around the world.
Yes, definitely. Well, of course, there are no amateurs. This is their fourth or fifth time. In addition to what you mentioned, they also ran the Pan American World Championships. So that was a huge event. Thousands of people came to see us.
Yeah, that was the Pan American Games. What was that, yes. In 2011,
yes.
Right here in Chapala?
Yes.
So they've certainly had plenty of experience with that. So. Let's talk a little bit about some of the issues that are facing water skiing right now. About 2 years ago, the IWWF put into place the fee for international skiers in order to actually compete as a way of raising enough money to be able to select any site that they want without needing too much support from the actual site host. 2 years down the line, how do you think that has gone with the EMS license?
Well, the EMS license was very successful. I'd like to thank all the skiers because they really accepted and appreciated. And I hope we've been transparent with the use of that money. It has been devoted to pay for the Open World Championships, for the World Ski Open World Championships. That's all the money that we collect goes towards that. So that reduces the cost. So we actually inverted the process. Like a championship like this one, a host bids and then pay some rights holders to us, and we grant the tournament to a site, and then they have to cover all the costs. So the new model is the upside down. Right now we select the site, we actually rent the site from the hosts. Obviously we work very close together with them, and they're amazing hosts and whomever we pick, and we work all closely together, but we're actually renting the site from them. And so for the host, instead of being, you know, a very risky business that they might lose the house doing the worlds because nobody came, now they're making money with the tournament. So I think for the host sites, it's a great difference, and for us it gives us a full control of what we want to project as a federation and the level we want to project for our skiers.
Even so, I mean, the next World Championships this year, the next Elite World Championships, will take place at the same venue where it took place two seasons ago over at Sunset Lakes. I mean, obviously, the consistency side from it, from having a great site with great conditions, is going to be a big plus for the skiers. But having the same titled event two separate seasons back to back, you know, is that a sustainable model?
No, and we're not looking for that. The reality is that some organizations do that, and for example, for us to be sustainable, even the license fee and the registration fee does not cover the cost of the cost of putting on the championships. So we need outside support, outside sponsors. In this case, the sponsor is the city of or the county of Lake County, which is a great partner to work with, and they wanted us a multi-year event. And this is the way the USA Water Ski runs their events. You know, the nationals are run twice in the same site every other two consecutive years on the same site, and that has a reason. The reason is really because if you want to establish relationship with sponsors, it's very hard to find a sponsor that goes for a one-off event. Yeah. They want to know what's coming up. They want to know, they do have certainty on the dates and the future. And in this case, that was provided by Lake County.
And also some support from the Greater Orlando Sports Commission and other governmental entities around that. You know? So, I mean, it's good to have its security. But, I mean, have there been any hands raised for, like, the World Championships another 2 years down the line? Having seen how successful, as you said, this model has been in terms of actually renting the site and doing this kind of thing?
Yes, we have had a strong interest from different sites in Europe. I don't want to go into more closely detail, but we have a interest on sites in Europe, and we have also interest in a couple of sites in Oceania, in Australia.
Okay, yeah, because it's been a while since Oceania has actually hosted a World Elite Water Ski Championships. You mean you'd have to go back into like the 1960s, 1970s,
yeah,
you know,
you have
like
good memory.
Like Surfers Paradise and those
yes.
places which today, well, by today's standard, Surfers Paradise can't really function as an event venue, but like places like Moala and Bonnie's place over in Western Australia, they're certainly capable of hosting the event.
Well, those are the sites we're looking at, and we're working with the provincial governments in both or state governments in both areas to see if they can jump in to help us support, because in reality we bring a lot of economic impact to wherever we go as a community. You know, we it's a good business for anyone to have us.
Okay. So, I mean, the IWWF is the governing body not only for tournament water skiing, but for a number of different disciplines, ski racing, barefooting, adaptive water skiing and all that kind of stuff. So how difficult is it to actually balance the needs and the wants of the tournament community and yet still keep those folks in the other disciplines are somewhat happy?
Well, I really don't want to imply that they are the lesser children, you know. For me, every discipline is super important. I'm passionate about everything. In this position, I got the opportunity to really get to know up close and personal, for example, racing, that I was never involved in it. And if you look in social media, it's hard to find racing.
Yeah.
But I found it, and I loved it, you know. And it's amazing. And these athletes are, it's just incredible, you know. They blows your mind. You know, a 15-year-old kid going 100 miles an hour on the roughest water you could ever see, you know, with white caps. And they do it and they love it. And the barefooters are also a super feisty community. They're super well organized.
They're certainly a different breed.
So, yes. But I love each, and because each of our disciplines has its own unique character. You know, that's just amazing. And what I would love to see, what I don't know if I will be able, is to put together one or more disciplines together so they actually can interact. For example, right now what we're trying to organize, one of our dreams and future projects, this is in the dream stage now, but I want to make it a reality, is to run IWWF University Worlds, College Worlds. But those collegiate Worlds would be based not only in water skiing. It will have wakeboard, cable ski, as many disciplines as we can put together. Obviously, the site is a super challenge because you need to have some sites that you're probably, we have a couple in the world that could have host everything together at once, no?
Yeah, and I mean, I'm glad that you mentioned the University Worlds because the last World Championships that was supposed to be in the 2019 cycle had to be postponed due to the Russian aggression against Ukraine and how Belarus gets themselves involved in all of that mess, because it was supposed to take place in Minsk at that time, you know. So I mean, let me ask you a couple of questions. I mean, first of all, how important is it for you to reestablish that cycle with a new venue for the World University Championships? That's one question. And B, how is the IWWF relationship with FISU going on?
Well, we have a great relationship with FISU, but we are not part of FISU anymore. We had a contract that is renewable every four years. That contract lapsed last year. Since 2016, we were not able to line any hosts for the FISU Championships. The last one was in Japan. And it's because the conditions that FISU demanded from the host were extremely strenuous. So they were very hard to meet. So the only two countries that we had lined up was Minsk for last year. Belarus and Minsk for last year. And next year, Dnipro. In Ukraine. So FISU decided to suspend. This was not our call not to go ahead. Obviously, it's impossible to have it there, but the reality is that FISU was the one that took the decision to stop it. In the meantime, the FISU contract lapsed, and we decided not to renew it and try to do our own University Worlds, because that gives us much more freedom to work.
So basically a University Worlds, but sanctioned by the IWWF and not FISU.
Exactly. Well, they were always actually sanctioned by IWWF, but they were organized by FISU.
Yeah.
And so we will have it a run. And if it's an attractive property, I'm sure FISU will be very happy to call it back in, you know, because, again, the relationship with them is super good.
All right, then. You mentioned that that there's a possibility that an IWWF World University Championship would take place at Dnipro in Ukraine. That's going from one extreme to the other, from Belarus to...
was FISU.
Yeah, that was through FISU. But I mean, I just can't help but be a little bit struck by the by one side and the other, Belarus, that was excluded from running it, and then going to Ukraine, who are still being victims of this terrible aggression from Russia. And that leads me to this next question. The IWWF sent an email out in March saying that even though the IOC is prepared to allow Belarusian and Russian athletes to compete under the white flag, the IWWF is not prepared to take that stance.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of clarifications there, because the IOC has not said what you just said. They have said, basically, you are on your own. They said, okay, because if you are an independent federation, you decide whatever you want to do because it's your sport. So if you want to include them, it's fine. If you want not to include them, it's fine. We are stepping out and we are taking a neutral approach. The IOC, I mean.
Yes.
And the IOC has not really decided if the Russians and Belarusians will be able to participate in next year's Olympics, and we're less than a year away.
Yeah,
so,
in Paris,
so,
yeah.
So that's really, the IOC has, their guidance has been murkier and murkier, and it's been harder for us. So we're taking the IOC to its word, and we said, okay, it's fine, we'll do it on our own. And we are, every quarter, we are evaluating the situation, and we are making the decision. The last quarter meeting was in March or April, and and we decided to maintain everything as we had since last year. There were no changes. That's not to say that no changes are coming. That's to say that at March, the decision was to stay the course. It could change the next quarter, which is probably within a few days, the next discussion, and then we'll see where it goes, you know?
Okay. So any decision in regards to Belarus obviously has a direct bearing on at least a couple of world-class skiers, and I'll focus on a couple of them, Sasha Denyerskaya and Hanna Stoltsova, who have had to basically ditch their original nationality and decide to ski as a representative of the United States. Given their actions, what opinions do you have comment-wise in terms of what they had to do?
Well, they didn't have to do anything, okay? They chose to do that.
Okay.
Nobody forced them to change countries. We do have a process. We have a process which is a long-standing process for you to change countries. That process was established, like, if, for example, if you decide to go to Germany tomorrow and live there, and you want to still keep skiing and eventually compete internationally, then you apply for a change of federation, and there is a procedure there that has been there forever. This procedure was never meant as a loophole to say, oh, now they are banning me here, so I'm running over there. So the procedure is there. We're not changing it because of this. We don't feel it. You know, even if it's abused a couple of times, we don't feel the need to change it, because the procedure is for a completely different reason. It's not to ditch a sanction. It's to change countries when you actually change a country. But for example, what would happen, and this is an open question, if the war would end tomorrow, or if we change our policies and allow Russians and Belarusians to compete, will they ditch the U.S. and go back? I don't know. You need to talk to them.
Yeah.
But it's really not my call. I don't know. You know, they chose to do that, and I respect it, and they follow the procedure, and they change federations, you know. And I don't know if you want us to summarize very quickly what the procedure is all about, or if it's not worth it here.
Yeah, certainly. Please do.
Okay, the procedure is quite simple. You need to ask your current federation for a release from your nationality. You need to prove that you are a national, that you are a legal resident of the new federation.
For a certain amount of time?
No, it's a legal requirement that the new federation that tells us, okay, the new federation says, okay, under my point of view, these people are legal residents of the new federation, okay, like the U.S., Germany, whatever. And once we have those two letters in agreement, then you have to wait for a year where you can ski in title tournaments, but you cannot compete. Sorry, you can compete in normal tournaments, but you cannot compete in title like World or Confederation Championships. So they applied a year ago, and that year passed. I don't know, in March or April. Uh-huh. If your home federation doesn't want to release you, then you can go, but then the waiting period is 2 years. In the case of both girls, the Belarusian Federation released them with no problem.
Okay.
No, so that's where we are. So the situation is that the U.S. said, okay, yes, they comply with the our protocols, so they would be welcome here. So we accept the champion. We just apply the procedure.
Yeah.
You know? So that's about it.
All right then. So looking forward here to these World Championships just outside of Chapala. You're an homologator, which means checking the courses, making sure everything is there. I mean, how does that kind of work with your current position as IWWF Federation President? You know, because I mean you've got a role here, but then people are pulling you inside and wanting your opinion and all that kind of stuff.
Well, obviously, I have to have wear many hats. If I love the homologation is the one of the things I love most about my work in water skiing. So it's really a pleasure for me. But reality is, I think it was kind of stretching myself too thin, because, for example, today I missed news conference that I had to go to Chapala and I couldn't because we were here. So it also doesn't matter. Somebody else will do it. But I think the role of a president has to, at the worst specifically, I had to play that role rather than the homologator. But, you know, it is what it is, and I'm here and happy. I will try to play both.
All right, then. We're going to round off this episode of the TWBC podcast. Thanks a lot for doing so. Any comments after this podcast?
Well, yeah, of course. I wish all the kids a super tournament. I know the site. I've been skiing here. I actually have my personal best here in a national tournament many years ago. And I'm sure some people or most people will have amazing performances on this site because it's just really incredible. And the weather couldn't be better, no?
Excellent stuff. And that was Jose Antonio Perez Priego, the IWWF president, here on the TWBC podcast. More coverage of the U21 World Water Ski Championships here in Chapala will be imminent. But until that time, it is ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.